You could change the global climate at a reasonable cost in a very short time.
There are proposed methods for making low-level clouds, especially over the ocean, more reflective to sunlight.
Do I want to go to these interesting techniques people are proposing to get sulfate into the stratosphere? You know, hoses held up by balloons.
That would be a little bit frightened by starting out and doing our planet first, because maybe you don't get it right the first time. Maybe we should try another planet.
This all sounds like science fiction, and until very recently would have been regarded as such. Fanciful and imaginative ideas, no doubt, but of little serious scientific merit. No longer.
I had thought that the scientists I would encounter thinking about extreme measures to actually cool the planet manually would be oddballs, cranks, figures on the edge of science, megalomaniacs, and unfortunately they were clear-thinking, measured, responsible, highly cited scientists, some of the giants in the field. And that's really scary.
Eli Kintish is a Washington-based science writer and a firm believer in man-made climate change, whose book on the coming of age of what's called geoengineering, Hack the Planet, is published in the United States next month. It will, he's convinced, be a timely study.
It's a moment in the study of global warming where scientists are realizing that the worst-case scenarios may not be fixed by cutting emissions. And so scientists who only a couple years ago were considering geoengineering a kind of rogue idea are now turning to a very controversial and disturbing concept that we might, in the future, attempt to control the complex system of the Earth's climate by deliberate means.
While some disagree, the overwhelming majority of climate scientists around the world believe that global warming is happening and is man-made. And the clearest sign that, amongst them, geoengineering is indeed entering the mainstream was the publication in September last year of a major report into its possibilities by Britain's august Royal Society. Their inquiry was led by John Shepherd, who works at the National Oceanographic Centre in Southampton.
The Royal Society decided to set up this study in the hope of providing an authoritative basis for a debate as to whether or not we should pursue these ideas, and to remove some of the misinformation and misunderstanding. There are two main sorts of geoengineering, one which attempts to cool the planet slightly by reflecting a small percentage of sunlight back into space, and the others which approach it from the other end and try and actually remove the greenhouse gases that are causing the problem. And these two classes of methods differ in almost all respects.
The population of the Earth is at present putting about 30 billion tonnes of carbon dioxide a year into the atmosphere, where a significant proportion of it will remain for centuries. So any long-term attempt to reduce the build-up of greenhouse gases must involve the removal of excess carbon dioxide, its capture and sequestration, to use the scientists' language. And the most promising methods for doing this on a sufficiently large scale involve the artificial acceleration of natural processes by which carbon is absorbed on both land and sea.
I knew that when groundwater and the air react with rocks from the Earth's interior that are exposed on the surface by tectonic plate collisions, I knew that reactions in those contexts would take carbon dioxide from the air or from groundwater and make solid minerals where it's sort of permanently stored on a human timescale. What I didn't know was that this was happening at a rate that might be of use to humanity, that there were ways of accelerating this process that might really get it into the ballpark of a significant contribution to mitigating CO2 emissions.
Peter Kellerman is professor of geochemistry at Columbia University in New York. And what's shifted the focus of his research in recent years towards carbon removal has been his discovery of the particular properties of a rock called peridotite.
We can go out to places where the Earth's interior is exposed on the surface. And for example, I've worked mostly in the Sultanate of Oman. And you can watch in a matter of days as small pebbles or plants are covered up with calcium carbonate. For a geologist, something that happens in days or weeks is just screaming along. And at about 185 degrees centigrade and about 100 bars or 100 atmospheres of pressure, the reaction rate can be up to a million times faster. Wow, if we could get fluids with high partial pressure CO2, into these rocks in the subsurface at 185 degrees centigrade, then we could potentially get a process that might take up a billion tons of CO2.